The following was recorded on Friday, December 4th, 2015.
Dear friends, this Sabbath evening represents a historic moment in the life of our temple community. Tonight we install Rabbi Allison Tick Brill as Temple Emmanuel's assistant rabbi. To join us in the celebration, we welcome Allie's parents, Andrea and Stephen Tick, who lit our candles. Of course, her husband, Dr. David Brill, her grandmother, Marge, and many others from the extended Tick and Brill families. Though we formally install her tonight, we know that Rabbi Tick Brill has been serving as our rabbi for 5 months now. And in that time, she has had a profound impact on the life of our congregation. Her intelligence, energy, and great personal warmth are readily apparent. So many of you have told me how much you appreciate her presence on the Bima, her brilliant sermons, her having been by your side in difficult moments as well as happy ones. Her many accomplishments belie her still brief tenure with us. Her ability to connect with religious school students has brought new energy to an already wonderful lifelong learning program. Her pastoral training at Weill Cornell Hospital has transformed what was for her a natural strength into a rare gift. She's begun to develop a Muslim-Jewish dialogue for young professionals at a time when such interfaith bridge building is vitally important. With the support of rabbinic intern Toba Shaler, our Saviv 20s and 30s program is blossoming under her leadership, and she and rabbinic intern Stephanie Crawley have extended our outreach efforts to welcome dozens into the exploration of Judaism and our community. In Rabbi Tick Brill, you are blessed with a terrific teacher and spiritual leader. And Rabbi Ehrlich, Cantor Rhodes, Dr. Sobel, Dr. Posner, Cantor Corson, and I are blessed with a wonderful colleague and friend, as is our entire staff, so many of whom are present tonight. I met Allie for the first time, quite by chance, the week of her ordination in this sanctuary a year and a half ago. She spoke to me about the chaplaincy work she would be doing, how she had served as a rabbinic intern engaging youth and young professionals, and how ultimately she hoped again to serve a congregation. Months later, when the time came for us to hire an assistant rabbi, I remembered that conversation, and we invited Allie in to sit with our interview committee chaired by Susan Danoff. So you never know where a chance meeting will lead. There's a wonderful passage in this week's Torah portion, Parashat Vayeshev, which speaks of an ish, a man, Joseph comes across in the fields as he searches for his brothers. We don't know who the man is or how he got there, but at the very moment Joseph loses his way, the ish appears, and he directs Joseph along a life path that will ultimately save the Hebrew people, which leads the rabbis to suggest that this ordinary man was also a messenger of the divine. And so we learn, even in our commonplace encounters and interactions, lies the potential for holiness and redemption. Allie, as you become increasingly a part of the life of this congregation, you will come to recognize, you already do, God's presence, not just in grand occasions like this one, but even more in what others might perceive as ordinary moments. For there is no aspect of service to the Jewish community that does not also serve God. And there will be no encounters with your people where God will not also be present. Here at Temple Emmanuel, you will tend the flame of our ancient faith. From this pulpit, you will speak out against injustice in its many forms, from anti-Zionism and anti-Semitism to racism, poverty, religious extremism, the refugee and immigration crises, and of course the gun crisis, so much on our minds with the latest tragedies in San Bernardino and Colorado Springs. Our history and textual tradition have wisdom to shed on each, and you will teach it so that we might respond. Here you will comfort our sick and sorrowing. Here you will open your heart to our youth. Here you will direct those you meet, wandering lost in the fields of an often confusing and complicated world, toward a path of greater, deeper meaning and purpose. A rabbi's installation offers her congregation the chance to learn from a teacher who has helped shape the person she has become, a mentor after whom she would seek to model her own rabbinate. And so to be invited to deliver an installation address is indeed an honor. Rabbi Stephen S. Mason is the Rabbi Emeritus of North Shore Congregation Israel in Glencoe, Illinois, where he served as senior rabbi from 1997 to 2015. Growing up in Worcester and graduating from Bates College, Rabbi Mason went on to study at the Hebrew University in Jerusalem and was ordained by the Hebrew Union College Jewish Institute of Religion here in New York, where he subsequently earned a Doctor of Ministry degree in pastoral care and counseling and a Doctor of Divinity degree as well. He is also a senior rabbinic fellow at the Shalom Hartman Institute in Jerusalem. He and his wife Patty, a Jewish educator in her own right, still live in suburban Chicago. Rabbi Tick Brill spoke at North Shore Congregation Israel on the occasion of Rabbi Mason's retirement. And of course, it was only 2 months ago that Rabbi Mason officiated at Allie's wedding to David. A dear friend of the Tick family, Steve was Allie's rabbi growing up. And in her study on the eighth floor, she has a sign on her bookshelf that reads, "He's no Steve Mason." I came to learn that it's a family expression attesting to the esteem in which they hold him. So it is an extraordinarily meaningful honor for us to have him here tonight. Ladies and gentlemen, Rabbi Steve Mason.
We have perhaps reached a moment in time when we might be able to say, "I'm no Steve Mason." Let's find out. Shabbat Shalom, my friends. You really cannot imagine what a thrill it is to be here at Temple Emmanuel on this particular Shabbat. And on this Shabbat in particular, here a Shabbat that ends a week of unspeakable tragedy, casting such darkness over all Americans. How great it is that we now enter into this moment of hopefulness, a moment filled with light and joy and optimism as we mark the beginning of the rabbinate of Rabbi Allison Tick Brill. So I'm so grateful to be here on this occasion, not only as a result of the many connections that Rabbi Davidson has just mentioned, but also, I don't know about you, but I really need this event at this moment in time. So, Josh, I thank you so much for this truly singular honor. And you, Rabbi Allison Tick Brill, you could have asked any one of your distinguished professors from HUC JIR or any one of the celebrated leaders of our movement based here in New York City to mark this event with you. But isn't it just like you to invite a retired rabbi from the Midwest as you formally mark the start of your tenure at this great synagogue? That you included Patty and me tonight, allowing us to join you and David and your mom and dad and other members of your family and your new community for this great moment, actually reveals so much about who you are and why you are already on the road to becoming a great rabbi. So tonight, my friends, I do bring you a teaching that comes out of my experience knowing Rabbi Alison Tick Brill from the time she was just Allie Tick, one of the kids. So how is it that she is already on the road to becoming a great rabbi? It is because relationships matter more than anything. Allie, you live the adage recorded in Pirkei Avot that reminds us that when even just two people engage in Torah, then the Shekhinah, the divine presence, will rest with them and be in their midst. Many people know, many people here already know, that Rabbi Alison Tick Brill makes that happen when she encounters another. She brings something unique to that moment, her spirit that connects one to light and hope and joy and the foundation of Torah. She's been doing it for a while, you know. I am certain that the people of B'nai Israel Synagogue in High Point, North Carolina know this, for they are the ones, Allie, who first saw you grow into your rabbinate as you gained confidence and competence with each passing moment. I still remember the phone calls we had as you anticipated your first High Holy Days in the furniture capital of the world. Likewise, the members of Temple Shari Tefillah cherish their experiences with you. And it goes without saying that Allie's North Shore Congregation Israel family remains deeply grateful for the gifts you brought us, not only as an active member of our congregation with your family, not only because you are really and truly a daughter of North Shore Congregation Israel, but also because you came home to work with us as a skilled and devoted rabbinic intern. And then, at a time when I needed you the most, you joined us as a partner on the Bima during your first High Holy Day season as a rabbi. I'll note that at that time I had just torn my quadriceps tendon and was confined in a wheelchair, and it was Rosh Hashanah. I couldn't do all that up and down, but Rabbi Alison Tick Brill was there with us, sharing in the experience, helping me enormously. I hope you know that. And of course, we've heard how your contemporaries in the 20s and 30s programming here and earlier in Tribeca come to know a bit more Torah because of the way you brought it to them. And I myself am so moved when I consider how you offered comfort and sanctity and a joyful and reassuring presence to the patients you served so well at the Weill Cornell Medical Center. You brought living Torah and the light of hope, surely a hint at the presence of the Shekhinah in times when it must have been very hard for those with you to see. And soon, in fact, it's already happening, the people of this congregation will know of this gift of yours in its fullness. Indeed, you have made a wise decision. They have made a wise decision. What a wonderful, wonderful match. How lucky I have been to see the way Allie's commitment to Judaism and the Jewish people has evolved. I want to tell you something about that. Allie, when you answered the call to the Torah as a bat mitzvah on March 8, 2000, you demonstrated to all of us that you were ready to move full steam ahead in any direction you chose. With that special Allie gleam in your eye, with your ready, constant smile, your hard work, you won the day. Time would pass, and you were the student in the confirmation class, perhaps the one of few, who listened carefully and then asked the sharpest, most intelligent, and most challenging questions. And you were the youth group leader who brought intelligence and sensitivity to her responsibilities. Patty recalled the other day how on one of our very special retreats at North Shore Congregation Israel, we call it Karav, There's a point in time when the adults take each one of the teenagers on a walk privately and talk to them about really the difference that each of these kids can make and will make. So it was time to walk with Ellie. And rather than let any adult tell her anything, she jumped right in first to offer her thanks and appreciation to the adult leaders. That's just the way that she is. Patty also enjoys remembering how in our family education programs we could count on you to dress up as a new immigrant arriving at Ellis Island at the turn of the 20th century. Even as a high school student, your work in our family education program gave some signals about the directions in which you might head. Now, whether we're talking about Ellie at home as a daughter, a sister, and now a spouse, as a chaplain, as a rabbi, that sensitivity, that awareness, that respect for others are the qualities that you naturally bring to your engagement with others. You do offer a glimpse of goodness and how we can bring the presence of the Shekhinah into our world. As I anticipated this event, I noted, Ellie, that you and I have shared some very special moments. Family B'nai Mitzvah, yours and Matt's. Times of grief. Your great Devar Torah that so enhanced the celebration when I retired a few months ago. And, of course, there remains as a very fresh memory the indescribable joy and optimism of the moment only a month and a half ago when you and David united your lives beneath the chuppah in our sanctuary back home. Now though, with all of this history, we come to your installation as assistant rabbi of this great congregation. It's time to look forward. What can I say as I look ahead now to the next phase, to the beginning of your rabbinate? I could recount for you the 14 important tasks of the rabbi as Rabbi Norman Hirsch enumerated them in Dr. Alfred Gottschalk's book on the rabbinate, a book called To Learn and to Teach. I noticed you had it upstairs. You know many of these tasks already. They include visiting the sick, counseling the troubled, conducting services, preaching, teaching children, being there for confirmation, bar mitzvah, adult education, officiating at weddings. It goes on, and I know you already know the job description. But rather than dwell on something like that, I will do as you would do, and turn to a text that resonates across the centuries with essential truths about rabbinic priorities. This is a Talmud text. It comes from Shabbat 31a. And wouldn't you know it, ladies and gentlemen, I learned this text from Rabbi Alison Tick Brill. Now, one might look at this text and read it solely as a tool for rabbinic self-evaluation at the end of a career. And indeed, it is that. But at the same time, it sets out worthy goals and values that, Ali, we hope you will take to heart as you continue to develop your own rabbinate. In the Talmudic passage, a third century sage named Rava notes the following. When a person is led in for judgment, he is asked, among other things, these three questions. In other words, when you near what seems to be the end of your career, see how you have done with these three things. Number one, Nasata v'natata be'emuna, with the clarity of hindsight, can you say that you conducted your affairs faithfully? Did you live and work with real integrity? Did you do your tasks with a sense of mission first? Number two, Kavata itim la Torah. Did you fix regular times for learning? As you look back, can you say that you continued to study and to learn and to keep up? And number three, Asakta b'fria u'vriya, did you engage in procreation? Over the years, can you say that you established your own home, and not only that, did you raise up a figurative family of fellow travelers? Well, Ali, Not long ago, you shared this text with me as I prepared for my retirement. I turn to it now so that you might see Rava's words as a guideline for you as you embark on the remarkable, rewarding life of the rabbinate. So, back to number one. Ali, I am confident that you will serve faithfully as a rabbi. That is, you will speak, you will teach, you will preach, you will live with true integrity. You will mean what you say and say what you mean. Trustworthiness, justice, and compassion, and fairness, and commitment to Torah will be your true platform as you seek to do what is right. And number two, a rabbi's education does not end at ordination. Make it your business to find the time to study, to open new books and to see the old books in new ways. After all, when all is said and done, Torah is our field of expertise. Teaching and learning Torah, indeed. Let these be the highest priorities. Let them be the foundation upon all of the rest of your work. Make it a main feature of your rabbinate. A rabbi must turn it and turn it and turn it again. Your engagement with Torah, your spreading of Torah will be the greatest source of your authenticity. And as for number three, priya, rvia, be fruitful and multiply. Frankly, it's too soon to speak of procreation in a literal sense. You've only been married since October. But I do consider it in the context of spreading the word and giving Jews access to the vitality of our tradition, helping them find their places in the great family of Abraham and Sarah. Ali, with your colleagues here, persist in making this temple a true family of families as you welcome all who enter. Live out the psalmist's words, Hinei matov u'manayim, Shevet Achim Egam Yachad, how good, how very good it is when brothers and sisters join and share and live Judaism together. You will, Ali, succeed in ways we can neither measure nor predict, because we know, and frankly I know, because your chaplaincy proves it, that you are not afraid to leave your comfort zone for the sake of your people. You will succeed because you are a person who thinks carefully and speaks carefully and is always focused on the other, even as she considers seriously her own place in the world. You will succeed in your very full-time job as teacher, preacher, pastor, administrator, programmer, counselor, because you do reflect the way of being that I find described so well in my all-time favorite Hasidic tale. It is the one attributed to Rabbi Zusia, who reputedly taught, one should not say Torah, one should be Torah. Be Torah in the conventional ways, in your lectures and in your sermons, but also, more significantly, in what you do, how you relate to others, how your own way of being in the world teaches Torah in its own way. Yes, this Rabbi Zusia is the one who told his students, you know, you don't have to be like Moses. No one will ask you that at the end of the day. You have to be your best self. So in the rabbinate, I say to you, my friend and my dear colleague, be Ali, for there can be no better rabbi than Allison Tickbrill, as you bring your own goodness, your sense of what is right, your commitment, and your devotion, so that people will actually say, she's no Ali Tickbrill, as you persist in being yourself. So, Rabbi Allison Tickbrill, your time has come. In this great congregation, arm in arm with your distinguished colleagues, together with the members of this community, it is your turn to respond with your special warmth, your true compassion, and your great intelligence to the directions left us rabbis by the ancient sage Hillel, as you live and work with integrity, as you continually learn, as you develop that expansive network of relationships, as you support others in coping with this too often imperfect and so often violent world, always, always be of the disciples of Aaron. Be one who loves and pursues shalom, one who loves all children and women and men. Be the one who draws them closer to Torah. Be the one who draws them closer to peace. So Ali, I would ask you now to approach the Aron Kodesh, this holy ark before which you were ordained as a rabbi, and for your installation as assistant rabbi of Temple Emmanuel. May you grow from strength to strength in this work, in this consecrated congregation, in this wonderful moment on this Shabbat. Would you please rise?
Ali, with the great promise that you bring to us, we make certain promises to you. The opportunity to teach, but also to learn, to lead, but also to make mistakes, to give strength, and to count on it from us. With great joy, we enter into this sacred covenant of loving partnership and friendship.
Moshe kibel Torah mi Sinai, Musurah le Yoshua, and Joshua has just handed Torah to you. Moses received the Torah at Mount Sinai and transmitted it to Joshua. Joshua in turn to the elders to the prophets to the sages of the great assembly. And the sages taught three things: be deliberate in judgment, raise up many disciples, and protect the integrity of the Torah. Allison, Dick, Brill, this chain of tradition links Sinai to this very moment and continues now as it has in every generation, as Rabbi Davidson has placed this Torah in your arms. Our God, and God of our ancestors, bestow your blessings on Rabbi Allison Tick Brill and this congregation. Instill in her wisdom and righteousness, steadfastness and wisdom. As she assumes the position of assistant rabbi of Temple Emmanuel here in this city of New York, grant Ali a wise heart, candor, courage. Grant Ali great patience and strength. Grant her wisdom and calm and peace. May she respond to every challenge with dignity and plant within her a full measure of your compassion, that she might embody the words of our tradition in all that she does. And may she know the blessing conveyed in these words of Torah.
Yivarechecha Adonai v'yishmerecha.
May God bless you and keep you.
Ya'ir Adonai panav elecha v'chuneka.
May the light of God's presence shine on you and in your work, in your teaching of Torah, in your preaching and counseling. May God always be kind to you.
Yisa Adonai panav elecha v'yisem lecha shalom.
May God's presence always surround you in all that you do. And Ali, may God bless you with the most precious of all blessings. We know it as shalom, that blessing of wholeness. Wholeness as you pursue this sacred work. Wholeness as you make a difference in the world. May you know peace in every moment. Amen. Amen.
There are no words to express my gratitude for this most beautiful ceremony and for the opportunity to serve as one of your rabbis. I am deeply honored by the beautiful remarks and the spectacular music that I know was chosen because these are some of my favorite pieces, and by your presence here at the Shabbat. While today marks my installation, I have felt part of this community from the moment I walked through those magnificent doors for an interview. And when I was ordained on this bima, I did not know that I would have the profound honor of working here. And I'm thrilled to be your assistant rabbi. With Hanukkah beginning on Sunday, this feels like an auspicious time to express my gratitude and share my excitement for our future together. Because one of the things I love most about Jewish tradition is our mandate to bring light into this world. Hanukkah falls during the darkest time of the year, when the days are short and the moon wanes. And how do we meet this darkness? By kindling light. Hanukkah celebrates the miracle of light when a single cruse of oil survived the desecration of the temple and provided light for 8 days. Light, of course, was God's first creation and represents goodness, hope, and security. The psalmist uses light as a metaphor for God's presence, radiating comfort and warmth. How full of light is this place, Temple Emmanuel? Since 1845, Temple Emmanuel has been a beacon for the Jewish community, standing for justice, progress, and meaning. And I am deeply grateful that you allow me to share in this light. And I would like to take a moment to acknowledge the people here this evening who give me light. Rabbi Steve Mason, thank you for sanctifying this occasion in my life as you sanctified my bat mitzvah, my confirmation, and our wedding. You are the finest rabbi I know. Without your influence, I would have never fallen in love with Judaism or pursued the rabbinate. And you and your wonderful wife, Patty, have set my gold standard for what it means to be authentic and upstanding, and I model my rabbinate after you both. To my parents, my greatest role models, Mom and Dad, your endless love and kindness shape the way I see the world. I could never thank you sufficiently for the boundless strength you give me. David, my wonderful husband, you make me feel like I can accomplish anything. Thank you for your support, inspiration, and love. I'm so blessed to have you by my side. To my brother Matt, who's hopefully listening on the internet, his brilliance, humor, and heart are limitless. And my grandmother Marge, who is a pillar of strength and resilience, thank you. To my grandparents of blessed memory, my in-laws Alan and Susan, my circle of aunts, uncles, cousins, sisters-in-law, and brothers-in-law, thank you for giving me a foundation of love and support that allows me to go forth into the world to pursue my dreams. And to my friends who are here tonight, I am immensely grateful for your companionship and guidance. And of course, to the people who illuminate Temple Emmanuel, the professional staff, education department, nursery school, skirball center, administration team, extraordinary interns and facilities crew, your dedication to this great institution and your passionate vision make our community vibrant, and I'm honored to be your colleague. Rabbi Davidson, I feel so lucky to work with you. Your thoughtfulness, kindness, and elegance inspire me. You bring dedication and brilliance to all aspects of our congregation's life, and I'm blessed to have you as a mentor. You and Mia have welcomed and embraced me and David, and we both thank you. Rabbi Ehrlich, with grace and wisdom, you have dedicated yourself to this congregation for 28 years, and I learn from your poise and kindness and appreciate your friendship. Cantor Rhodes, you make every day in the office a delight because you conduct yourself on the bima just the way you do in every encounter, with warmth, passion, and an open heart. Thank you for bringing such soulfulness to our team. To Rabbi Sobel and Rabbi Posner, thank you for building this marvelous community. I'm humbled to serve your congregation. To Susan Danoff and the members of the committee that helped hire me, thank you. To our president, board of trustees, committee members, and congregants, it's a dream come true to be here with you. In just 2 days at this time, we will begin the Festival of Light. The Talmud teaches us precisely how to light the menorah by recording a disagreement between Rabbis Shammai and Hillel. Shammai says, light all 8 candles on the first night and take 1 candle away each night so that the candles represent how many days of the holiday remain. But Hillel disagrees. He says, light 1 candle the first night and add a candle for each night of the holiday, because in matters of holiness, we should always strive to grow and increase. We follow Rabbi Hillel's opinion. Just as the light from the candles increases with each night of the holiday, we strive to increase our capacity for goodness and to bring more light into the world. To everyone here tonight, thank you for this most extraordinary opportunity to journey with you. May our work together kindle light, the light of hope, the light of peace, and the light of blessing. Amen.